Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you, British lady. My condolences to you and your fellow countrymen. Nevertheless, welcome to Pop Culture Stars for 9/14/22. Hope everybody listening is doing fantastic. And we're doing well here, Jacksonville, as things may be. Sometimes you just take a regular day as a good day. Nevertheless, going to ease on through that janky back door on Atwell Manor, light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars, and introduce my esteemed panel for tonight. First off, in this corner, hailing from part semi-unknown in the fine state of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster, what's happening?
Well, not much. I'm just glad to be here. It's been kind of a rough couple weeks for me, you know, but I'm hanging in there, and I've got to have a lovely heart cast done on the 29th of September.
Yeah.
So I'm not looking forward to that, just because, well, it's been 8 years, but when I went for my yearly checkup on my lovely pacemaker that I have, you know, they said I had a little episode in April, May, and July, and they're calling it non-sustainable tachycardia, which means the bottom part of my heart is beating too fast. But because it's only lasting 3 to 5 seconds, they're calling it non-sustainable. If it was 20 seconds or more, they would be calling it sustainable tachycardia. However, because I've had 3 episodes in less than 2 months apart, 8 years ago when I had my last heart cath done, I had like 30% blockage, so it wasn't enough to have a stent or anything put in. But now they're going to, I guess they're just going to go in and make sure that I don't have any blockage going on anywhere, because I've been having a couple bad bouts of
shortness
of breath. And so it is what it is, you know, guys, but I'm trying to remain positive.
Hey,
you know,
Granny, we're losing
be
you,
okay.
Dear. I don't know if you can still hear us or not.
I can still hear you all.
Actually, I can hear her.
Granny.
So can I.
I can hear Todd, and I can hear Tim, and I can hear you, Dave. I guess you just can't hear me.
Okay, I can't hear you. I want to make sure you're still there. Good to have you. Yeah, the whole idea is to have 0% blockage. So, yeah, hopefully they can find a remedy to that.
Well, I'm hoping.
Yeah, hopefully. Old modern day medicine is pretty amazing, so they should be able to get to the bottom of that. Of course, pacemakers are like little computers these days, so I mean, they should be able to alert you know, your cardiologist and everything of anything that's going on abnormally. So, yeah, hopefully they can get that straightened out. But definitely appreciate you joining us this evening. Yeah, I don't see why not. Like I said, modern-day medicine is pretty amazing stuff. But great to have you aboard this evening. Appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
Now I'm going to kick it eastward a little bit to the fine city of Indianapolis and the outlying reaches, areas, places, acreage, where the alpacas roam and probably do other nefarious acts. Tim, what's going on?
You got that right. I'm living a dream, man. that's about all I got. I just kind of took it easy today, putting in a few more hours extra in work, but other than that, trying to relax. It's been some nice, cool weather. Don't know about you guys down there, but had some pretty cool weather. I think it's going to climb again. Not really quite sure. Haven't pulled the meteorologist act this week yet, but nonetheless, sitting here in the office, staring at the computer, trying to play in a couple more hours while I'm talking to you guys, hoping for a good show. Glad to be here and ready to kick it off.
Cool. good to have you aboard this evening, and my apologies for last week where Blog Talk just did not want to cooperate. Imagine
that. Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, that was strange because normally, you know, the way it goes, you guys call in, your number pops up on the board, I click a certain button, your button goes from black to red, and that's when I start hearing you. As many times as you would turn red, you would never click in. And on your end, you were getting nothing but music from us. So, yeah, it was odd. I'm not shocked, but nevertheless, good to have you back this week. And my apologies again, last week.
Oh, radio is good for Tim. He turns red when he speaks in public.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
He's got a little bit of stage fright going on with his podcast stuff, right? It's is my makeup right? So, speaking of which, makeup, for crying out loud, we've got the man of a million faces. And the one he's wearing, we can change on. My good brother in the same city, unfortunately, that Tim is in. Not because it's not bad on Tim, but because it's bad on us here in Jacksonville. Todd, what's going on, man?
Oh, doing outstanding, supernatural, ecstatic to be here. Think I'm going to be back to where this is going to be a random luxury. Periodically as opposed to any form of consistency again. But
yeah,
I am here with my family of the podcast tonight, so good enough.
Outstanding. Yeah, hopefully somehow or another all that could be remedied. God knows when, though. I had the opportunity to see your daughter and daughter-in-law this weekend at the mini con. It was very,
and that's
very
what
good
I heard, but I didn't get any report back. So how's my family doing since you actually see them more than I do?
Oh, they were doing great. It was really good to see them. It was and the darnest thing about it is that Rob showed up about the same time. Rob and Dale were in there. And as a matter of fact, I was talking to your crowd when my crowd came in, and I told Dale and Rob, I was like, "Hey, you know, there's Todd's daughter and daughter-in-law." And Dale's like, "Wait a minute, for real?" You know, like couldn't get over it. And then they turned around and looked at Rob, and they're like, "This is Rob." I'm like, "Yeah."
Oh, I know, because, well, think about this. I mean, Rob just finished growing, you know, getting the rest of his height. He was at that age where the last time they seen him where his knuckles were dragging on the ground and he tripped over his own arms.
He's close to still doing it right now, to be honest with you.
Oh, my God.
I call him yeah, the Rob Squad. But, yeah, everybody looked like they were doing excellent, man. And I tell you what, it does my heart a lot of good to see the crowd doing well and moving on. Man, you know, we were talking with me and you talk about often how I scratch my head about how through COVID the job was getting done with you being here, but now that COVID's over with, it won't get done without you being there. And I guess I'll leave it at that in case you have any leadership listening tonight. But, again, it's a total head-scratcher for me. But, nevertheless, my brother went through something similar with his job where for 2 years he didn't get on a plane. And 3 days after Putin went into Ukraine and COVID was solved, they were wanting him to get on a plane and go fly to parts unknown, and he was like, why? You know, been dealing with those folks just fine for the last 2 years. Why do I need to get on a plane to fix it when I can fix it on my laptop right here in Orlando? And luckily enough for him, he won the battle. But, again, it's one of those things where I think a lot of times
the turning of the wheel prevents us from thinking with some direct logic. And I think sometimes we as employers and employees don't want to get out of our comfort zone and maybe take a step to improving things for fear that they might not improve. So, you know, my solve has always been, if you try something new and it doesn't work, then just stop doing it and go back to the way you had it. But nevertheless, that's, you know, folks like myself down here on the ground talking, not people up there making the big bucks. So that is why I am a scrub.
Apparently,
I don't have the clear logic. But, yeah, nevertheless, it was good to have you aboard this evening, and it was great to see your family and everything.
Good deal.
Saturday. So, yeah. And before we go hot and heavy in tonight's topic, just a quick recap. Saturday went fantastic. Went better than I had anticipated. There at the Jacksonville Mini-Con at Lion Eyes Games in New River Shopping Center, it actually, it was a...
You're going to have to help me because, you know, it's a minute to spend back. But there is there getting... Are we getting lights in the old New River Shopping Center?
Yeah. It's still, I still call it Little Transylvania, where you want to be indoors with the shutters closed by sundown.
Okay.
But it's still not quite,
Guys, this is one of those places that, was suffering the dying a lot, a good while back. And,
it was not
always the case. So anytime you can see a place make a comeback, you know, that was something that I thought was, to me, kind of the hidden gem part, the fact that if there's something in there making a,
Matter of fact, when I was there, it was funny. We were doing a little New River Shopping Center history thing with me, and I was pointing at the different places, and I said, you know, the DMV used to be right there, and Rose's used to be right there, and Brendel's, you know, if you can get a – there was a place called Brendel's, and Todd, I don't know if you remember Brendel's, I don't know if you were stationed here when Brendel's was still open, but that place was kind of like the higher-end shopping in the 80s, and you could never get a front parking space at Brendel's. I don't care what time you went there, you can never get a front parking space. And it was nice. They had a little bit of everything in there. And, I mean, they didn't go so far out as, you know, like Garden Center and all that kind of jazz and pets and everything. But they had a huge jewelry department. They had, as a matter of fact, if you bought jewelry at Brendel's, that was supposed to be like a hallmark of some type or another. But as things go, much like Bryn Mawr Shopping Center did, where that was the hub in the 80s, it is now deemed as the project now, for lack of a better term. So, but yeah. One of those things, I can tell you, Shay out there at Lion Eyes Games has really done a fantastic job in his place. And, I mean, I was totally amazed at how well everything went. And, you know, Dr. John, he did fine. And we had Josh Mayers in there. We had the brothers Boyd, who are new parts of the family that are on YouTube. If you get a chance, look them up. They're comic book geeks, and they do a YouTube channel on different comics and comic book history and all that kind of jazz. Fantastic gentleman. And a young lady named Marilyn, who does homemade crochet, but creates her own, I don't know what they call it in crochet. I don't know if they call it patterns or what, but she creates, like, she does like Pokemon and that kind of stuff, and she makes them right there, stuffs them the whole nine yards like Build-A-Bear. So the whole time she's at her table, she's going to town with her yarn, and everybody I saw walking by had like a little damn bumblebee or a Pokemon or something like that in their hand, and I'm like, wow, she's kicking it. I guess I should have learned how to do that stuff years ago, but nevertheless, it wasn't really macho, so I passed up on it. But, yeah, everything went fine, and we got a lot of word out for
well,
the Havelock show.
Did any of Maryland's fanboys ask if they could get a loom with her?
Yeah, you two get a loom. Nah, but she could spin a yarn. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here all week. You're a wonderful crowd.
That's
but nevertheless,
not funny.
Nice. And I'm not going to be needling you about any type of your jokes tonight. So,
very well.
Yeah, off to a fantastic start tonight. At least we haven't done any weenie jokes yet, so that's good. But, nevertheless, yeah, the show went fantastic, and very pleased and very much appreciative of the efforts of the crowd there at Lion Eyes Games in New River Shopping Center. Appreciate them having us there. So with that, we move on to tonight's topic. Now, I have been known to crack many a jokes about the British lady who cues us in and shuts us down for the evening. And I know when the Royals were going through their little spat here about a year ago with Prince Harry and his betrothed, and it was all over the news and everything, I had mentioned that I didn't care because we handed them the big L in 1776, and that kept me from worrying about what the Royals were doing. Nevertheless, here comes the first squad. Nevertheless, we had the passing of our dear Queen Elizabeth this week. And, you know, it dawned on me, I am 52 years old, and this is the first changing of the monarchy in my lifetime. And, you know, I've been through, God, you know what, like half dozen popes and a couple Russian leaders and I don't know how many presidents now, but never been a change of monarchy in Great Britain. And it was kind of, you know, it was kind of an odd experience when you started watching it and everything because, you know, when the Pope passes or steps back or whatever it is the Popes do, you know how they always go to the Vatican and they have, like, the black smoke that comes out when they finally decide, or is it the gray smoke or whatever kind
right,
of smoke.
Right, they have the color-coded smoke.
Right. That lets you know when a new pope has been named. It was an instant transition, almost to a part, to a point with
I believe the
Charles.
Correct is holy smoke.
Holy smoke.
Oh.
Yes. The damn dad jokes are just running hard tonight. This is awesome. Well done. Holy smokes. Unless you're Joe
you
Biden,
think?
And then it is. Holy shit. That's right. How soon we forget our president dropping a load right there in front of the Pope. We did a whole show on that a while back. We'll have to pull that back up. But for Charles, man, I kind of felt bad because the guy really had no time to mourn. There was none of this. I thought there was going to be some type of coronation thing like you see on Braveheart and all this kind of jazz. But, I mean, it was like the queen died, and he was like, well, bam, right there, the man. You know, I figured you'd see, you know.
I'm sure they got to have some sort of ceremony because there's, I just remember having heard some sort of uniqueness, like they, you know, they keep in mind. Their history goes back a little bit. They've got some old traditions, and some of the items used have been around a minute and were just traditionally kept with that. So the they got to be having some sort of formal ceremony, even if they have long been, well, strictly ceremonial. Traditions die hard, man.
Yeah.
Traditions die hard.
And,
but yeah,
yeah,
we were
talking
about Charles, the king formerly known as Prince.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a instantaneous type thing, man. And do what?
I said, well, who died and made him king? Yeah, that's probably my bad. One of my worst.
Damn.
Too soon? Too soon? Yeah, all right.
As we lose 50% of our listening clientele from Great Britain, I'm sure the Scots are probably dialing it up right now, going, "You go, boy." That was a horrible Scottish accent, but nevertheless, yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's attached to this, and like I was saying in the green room, I really, again, did not know what the role was these days for the monarchy. You know, you watch movies and everything, you kind of got an idea of what they're in charge of. But on the flip side, you know, here in modern day times, we're not out there in suits of armor and clanging and banging and everything. I don't even know exactly what their role is, with the exception of just pomp and circumstance, you know, some type of a traditional, whatever they want to call it. Does anybody have any insight? Tradition, yeah. What
tradition
their actual...
for the sake of tradition. The again, the only thing I know of is it's pretty much ceremonial. I don't know that they do. You know, of course, they do all the meet and greet. They can still do at least the queen was still able to do the knighting. You know, bestow the title of knight upon, to be clear. That's at least considered still a pretty big honor. But again, you know, think about this. We've got such limited traditions here in the historical context that, you know, because they do some of the functions of a head of state, but the actual head of state's really the over there on Downing Street.
Right. That's what my question is. How much legislating do they do these days? You know what I mean? Is it?
Oh, none that I know of. But you did make me wonder if they actually have to be signatories on anything other than, say, the ye old knighthood and whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they have any type of say-so on, you know, tax codes or... You know, hell, even let's just say Britain decided to declare war on somebody. Did they have any input on that, you know? I have no idea. Something I'll have to look up.
Well,
but I'm not looking at
effective official input. I'm sure they, I don't know that they have much of any.
Yeah, because I don't even know.
That's interesting because all my quick searches earlier tonight didn't give me a hint on that. Anybody else do any searches, see anything?
No, because I was, what I looked up was their impact on World War II. You know, when Winston Churchill was pretty much calling the shots and everything. And there wasn't much there. You know what I mean? It was, not that I saw. It wasn't like, you know, any type of strategy or decision-making was left on the crown. It was all done through Parliament and, you know, Churchill is the leadership. So Yeah, I don't know. Odd thing. Like I said, you know, in modern times versus, say, 200 years ago when, you know, the monarchy called the shots.
Well, Granny Hoxer, can you tell us about what Queen Elizabeth was like when she was young?
I don't know. I
don't know what she was like when she was young.
Exactly.
I'm not that
old.
Already
needed glasses by then. She couldn't see.
I'm 60 years old, Todd, but I don't know what she was like when she was young. You know, because, I mean...
Oh, there goes
you
the...
You guys are just full of it tonight, let me tell you.
Well, you know, there's been so many times you told us, you know, what Thomas Jefferson was really like. We thought you might have a little insight.
Well, I don't even know
what
Thomas Jefferson was like either, you know. So.
No, she had a thing for Ben Franklin.
No, I didn't know. No,
he was
all.
A ladies' man.
Well, I was way before my time, so way before my time.
Now, there was something I addressed in the green room that perhaps might be up for discussion in the political realm, but there was somebody who had put out a, first off, let me go ahead and preface this with saying that colonialism, in a modern-day world, colonialism probably is not the best idea. There are times in history when colonialism worked, but in a modern-day society as it is now, colonialism probably is not the best course of political pursuits for any type of country at all. You know, the United States has done colonialism. Japan's done it. You know, it's not a... Even though there's a lot of shade thrown at the Queen all of a sudden about colonialism, it's not a specifically British habit. There's been, you know, French, Dutch, British, American, Japanese, Chinese, there's a lot of that stuff going on. Nevertheless, this fine individual who is a, air quotes, journalist, but probably has some of the poorest grammar I've ever seen in a, air quotes, journalist. They were speaking on how there were so many countries that were in British control and were, quote, unquote, quote, released from colonial control during Queen Elizabeth's time, and I think they were trying to make it look as a derisive thing towards the Queen, whereas if you ask me, if she was taking countries out from under colonial control, that's not a bad thing. But nevertheless, a lot of these countries that were on there, you know, are no longer under British control, but on the flip side, these countries are a mess. They're a mess economically. They're a mess socially. You know, they have these civil wars every 15 months. And, you know, the question is, if you want to throw shade at the Queen, go right on ahead. But, I mean, how much better shape are they in with being out from under British control? Leastways, you know, with the British there, they had trade, they had prosperity, they had, you know, okay, good night, sweetie. That's our new pooch saying good night. So,
I knew you weren't talking to Dale.
Yeah, those days are over. But, yeah, the question is out there that, you know, are you better off with the foreign power legislating things and having a safer standard of living versus the possibility of dictatorships and political coups and civil war and all that kind of stuff. So, the question is to be out there, and I kind of find it odd that a lot of these people suddenly are coming up bashing the Queen. And I mean, you had 96 years to run your mouth about the woman, and then she passes, and then everybody's coming out of the ground, coming out of their holes, going, "Oh well, the Queen was, a hateful, she was this, she was that." And I'm like, don't wait till somebody goes in a casket to run your mouth. That's probably as yellow as you can get. If you got something bad to say, say it to their face. But nevertheless, I thought it was kind of an interesting dynamic.
That's funny you should say that. It's funny you should
there
say that.
What's up?
Yeah, it's funny you should say that. I was segueing when you were saying that, everybody's waiting until the Queen passes to cast judgment. Really, the problem has never been with the Queen. It's just been with her other family members.
Mm-hmm.
That's been the problem.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true.
The Queen was the one that was keeping it together all this time.
You're right. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens to that crowd, because there's a lot of them. I mean, which one's the one that was hooked up with Epstein that liked the little girls?
Oh, that's the prince,
Andrew?
Right? When the prince. Yeah.
Yeah, and
that's him.
It's going to be interesting to see how much.
What about the Charles and Diana thing? I mean, I mean, yikes.
I still can't figure that out.
Mm-mm.
That one's still a big question mark for me, because you see Camilla now and you're like, wow, you didn't trade up. That's for damn certain. But
and, don't even get me started on the Markle other guy, with the other guy, Megan and his husband, yeah.
to a certain extent, and I might be shooting a little wide to the right with this, but I think he's another Johnny Depp, Will Smith case, where he's just trying to keep things.
It's coming.
Yeah, he's just trying to keep things rolling, but he's got something at the house that has the claws out right around the clock. And, now that they've reproduced together and everything else, it kind of puts him in a snag, and he's trying to play the game best possible. But I bet you if you got him drunk, he would probably tell you he's miserable as hell. And
wouldn't that be something if Jack Sparrow would defend him in court when he goes to court over that?
Whoever that was, that Velasquez, the young lady who represented Johnny Depp, put her in there, man.
Yeah.
That chick was, she was on now.
Oh, yeah. She was
wow.
Good, yeah.
Totally impressed. Yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see. And like I said, it's a first for our lifetimes, leastways, because when did the Queen take control? Was it the late 50s, early 60s, something to that effect? I'm trying to remember, 52. But nevertheless, 62?
The formal coronation is interesting. The king died February 6, 52. And actually, the formal coronation, and this might give us some idea of how long it'll take for formerly Prince Charles to have the formal ceremony, wasn't until June of 53.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's freaking months later, 16 months later, something like that, playing with the days.
I wonder if Elton John's going to make a song for the Queen like he did for Diana.
Yeah, ain't no telling. I mean, I'm kind of surprised we haven't already seen a bunch of tribute stuff coming out. Of course, like I said, you know, the way everybody's, you know, acting right now, like the Queen was the bane of humanity, you know, the female Antichrist. But, yeah, I don't completely fall in with that. And a lot of people, I'm getting so tired of both blaming stuff that happened 200 years ago on their faults for today. I'm going to tell you all straight up, everything that I screw up on a day-to-day basis has nothing to do with my grandparents, my parents, or anybody before them. It's my call, my decision, my mistake. And you know what? It's the one thing on this planet that I will have that nobody else will try to take from me, and it's a damn mistake. So to hear people caring all about the Queen at this point, when she does have so little control over what's going on politically, for me, it's just classless. And, yeah.
Well, think about it. It's coming from people. Some of the biggest stuff came from people that are supposed to be educated reporters and people in education. That tells you that they may have paid for degrees, but they don't know just what they actually know is
right.
Interesting.
Versus what they think they know.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little side topic on the classless things. You know, there was a gym in Wilmington that was actually running a monthly, you know how gyms have the fees, the monthly fees? They were running a special Sunday, $9.11. No joke.
Mm.
I saw that. Yeah. I'm like, you know, first off, whose idea was that? And second off, who in the hell said it was a good idea?
Well, was it a major chain or was it an independent place?
No, it was a chain.
All right, and just curious, because we know different chains work different ways.
Right. Could be a franchisee. Yeah.
Were other members of the chain doing the same thing?
Not that I'm aware. The only one that I saw was that one in Wilmington. So.
It says, you know,
yeah.
It says never forget, right? But some people evidently develop amnesia.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad. Like
all right, I got to throw this out there on that choice of phrasing because I hear that, and look, I understand exactly what it means. And I think this might very well be one of my foibles. You know, I abound with them. But I tend to use the phrase remember, if that makes any sense.
Well, some people, they don't even do that. They act like it never existed. which is sad, sad, sad.
That's it. Oh, I fully concur. I just feel like people use the word forget. They do forget as opposed to remember, maybe giving us one extra chance for them to remember. But, yeah, I kid you not. It's I think the shock is worn off, to say the least.
Yeah,
it's like
I agree.
It's like a race in history. You know, I mean, if you race history, you're doomed to repeat it. Because you forget about it. You know, I mean, you got to remember the good and the bad so you can learn, you know what I mean, one, to make a better future.
Yeah,
you would think otherwise people would continue to burn their hands on...
Yeah.
hot things on the stove. Just a thought.
Every day,
but
in the burning.
But now they're allowed to go ahead and do a lawsuit for being dumb enough to burn their hands.
Well, it's like I say, somebody slips and busts their ass. One guy says, "Well, did they have a wet floor sign down?" I say, "Did you watch where you were walking?" So, you know what I mean? It's, it's one of those things where, and going back to the Queens thing again, you've got all this stuff, that we are demonized for trying to protect ourselves as a country, protect our borders, protect our foreign interests, protect our citizens, protect all that stuff, our economy and all that other stuff that comes along with being free, and yet we're demonized for protecting ourselves. You know what I mean? It's almost like, well, you can't hold that against him just because, there's nothing wrong with being on the air of caution, especially when it comes down to something like that. But I don't know. So what do you guys think about Charles? What do you think he's going to? Because what is he, like 70? 70 some change now, I think. I mean, I'm not going to say he's near death, for crying out loud. I'm sure he's got plenty of years left. But, I don't think the monarchy can they step down? I guess they could.
Yeah, I imagine more modern times and the health and all that kind of stuff, because I was just one of the articles. I did a quick run through. I think I'm one of the ones I posted in the group chat. Said how others were taking up functions, so I guess they would still be, but everybody else would do it. I guess that would be the would they just. Well, we see certain people that are heads of state now get out there, and they're really not doing anything effective.
Yeah, we wouldn't know anything about that here in the States. Of course not.
Now, we're too busy trying to drive around electric cars and know where to charge them.
Yeah, well, you can't charge them because it would... Because it's
right.
Compromising the grid if you charge your electric car. So, yeah. If there needs to be...
That's like going to the bathroom and they've got this toilet seal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for me, it's kind of like wiping your ass before you take a dump. You know, it's... You eliminate... And when they're talking all kind of gas motors, years ago they went with small engine, two-cycle stuff, like the chainsaws, lawnmowers, and all that jazz. Could you imagine? Well, hell, think of the high schools, or think of just the schools in general, the amount of acreage that a school has. Could you imagine trying to mow those things with electric-run motors? I mean, I'm sure they do it in California somehow or another, but Christ almighty. So what you've done is you've eliminated all, through legislation, you have eliminated all of these gas-powered motors, not just cars. I know cars is the easy thing to focus on because everybody's got to have a car these days. But if you think about, like I said, the small things, lawnmowers, chainsaws, weed whackers, the stuff that you need to mm-hmm. keep the snakes and the tigers from getting in your yard. So they legislate all that right up to motor vehicles, which to me is kind of like the ultimate, kind of like getting the king on the chessboard. And then they turn around 2 days later, and they turn the grids back. I couldn't imagine. I am so thankful. I'm an East Coast guy and have been for my life, with the exception of the time I lived in Chicago, because I just could not. For me, it just seems so counterproductive. And these charging stations, you know what powers them?
Gas.
It ain't the sun. Yeah, it ain't wind. It's not water. It's petroleum. The same damn thing that they say they can't use in their cars and their engines. But that's what pushes the motors and turbines that create the electricity for the plug-in stuff. And I'm curious, too. I need to get a hold of somebody who lives on the West Coast and ask them what their light bill every month turns out to be. I mean,
you don't will.
I had to ask him because I talked to him about a month ago. He said he's doing well, wanted me to pass on all well wishes to you guys. He's doing fine. Spoke to him briefly. But.
Well. Will's well.
But if you take your gas money that you put into your car and doing your normal transportation throughout the week, set that to the side here, and now instead of going to the gas station, you have to plug your car in at night. What is the difference? Because to me, if you were spending $200 a month in gas, and in California you're probably spending more than that, I'll give you that. But nevertheless, let's just say $250 a month in gasoline, doing your going to work, running for groceries, entertainment, whatever in the hell it is you do, and your light bill turned out to be $400 more a month after buying an electric car, where did we come out ahead in this?
Well, let me play with a couple things on this. I don't know if this, what's happened with you guys down there. I know Yuki mentioned something, but she didn't have raw numbers, or nor did Garion. I know I got a 12.5% rate increase. Tim, how about you?
Say that again, Todd.
I got a 12.5% rate increase on electricity.
It's hit and miss with us. It's so hard to tell because it all depends on when people are here, when the pool is running.
I mean the rate increase for electricity, period.
Oh, I'm actually not quite sure. I let Kim takes care of all the bills, but sadly enough, I don't pay attention to the actual rate increase. I have no idea.
Do you got AES? Formerly IPL?
No, Duke Energy.
Okay. Yeah, well, AES, we got a 12.5% rate increase.
Okay.
So
we would have noticed.
Now, mind you, we're not in a place that has heavy legislation for electric vehicles and all that, but that's an increase before that. So if you take, and that's supposed to be just because of the current economy and costs, and you were talking about how much your electric bill has gone up, we haven't even discussed that. That was first thought, standard, let's say, reality increases, because we know it'll always go up, it'll never go back down. What about the people with the electric vehicles? And I'm going to touch you all with the reality I bet you've all run into somewhere down the line. You forgot to charge your frickin' phone over the night. Or did a lousy job connecting something. You attempted to do it, and it didn't really connect up right. Where the hell are people going to be if they file that business?
Yeah. I mean, think about just a power outage. some guy, hey, here's some what ifs. Christ knows, I can tell you, a lot of the power outages that happen around here are because somebody got loaded and drove their vehicles into a transformer somewhere, thereby knocking the power out. So as to your point, Todd, the extension of that, so let's say that night before, for whatever reason, you didn't plug it in correctly, there was a power outage in your neighborhood, whatever. So what happens the next morning? I mean, do you call out to work and say, hey, I can't make it to work because I forgot to plug my car in? You know what I mean? How far is that going to fly? Thank Christ I'm not managing any car. Yeah, I mean,
Wouldn't it have been ironic had it been an electric car that crashes into a telephone pole? If I say telephone pole, electric. If it's an electric car.
Well, we sure enough still call them telephone poles.
Okay, well, point being, it'd be great case of irony if it were an electric car, kills the power to charge the electric car. Yeah.
And I really don't hear anybody talking about the lack of safety with those batteries.
Yes. Yes. Well, they're not, because they know that there is an issue with that. They know that those batteries have a damn half-life on them, but that's the downside of these things, and nobody wants to talk about the downside of them because, let's face it, they outnumber the upsides.
Speaking of, I love this,
is something Stroke touched on. Got to run with it. Sorry, brother. The not learning from history. Well, we learn all this legit safety stuff, not the damn low IQ, freaking Darwin was wrong issues going on. The batteries will get better. I believe it. But if you erase that history, that's not going to happen. Just saying.
Right. And, I mean, is Big Oil, and I know everybody wants to bastardize Big Oil and that kind of jazz, and is there a lot of shady stuff going on in the oil industry? Yes, there is. It's not any shadier what goes on in retail, where you got people in there working their asses sideways for $8 an hour. There's a lot of shady stuff that goes on with big business. We know that. But for me, the big question is, why are we doing it? And the same answer always comes to the mind, you know, comes forward, because we're saving the planet. All right, so if we're saving the planet, that means we have to find a way to charge these things without the use of petroleum. And if we're still dumping tanker trucks full of petroleum into the turbines to charge the cars, then it's not.
Train loads of coal.
Yes. All that is digging a hole and filling it in with the other hand, if you ask me. Now, if there was a way to do something sustainably, let me just come up with a hypothetical here. All right. Take, for instance, chicken grease. If you work in a grocery store these days, you'll know that chicken grease is actually no longer, it's actually a commodity, so to speak. Back in the good old days of the grocery store, where you take the chicken fryer and you'd empty the grease out at night, and you put it in an icing bucket, and you take the icing bucket, put it into the dumpster. Thing of it is that people started turning that chicken grease into refined petroleum and was actually developing motors that would run off of that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
man, let me take this
boy, that's further. Been a minute.
Look, I'll even take it a step further than that, just for the people who don't eat enough chicken to produce enough grease. Let's say they were to develop an engine that runs off of poop. Doesn't matter what kind of poop. Cow poop, dog poop, goldfish poop. Hell, I sit on it myself and poop in it. Okay? For me, I would be all on board with that. Because what else are we doing with poop outside of fertilizing farms? Okay? And I would dare say that fertilizer, the amount of poop that happens every day globally, outweighs the amount of fertilizer that we need for the farms. So we have a lot of poop laying around that nobody's using. So if we were able to create an energy source with the poop that would run the vehicles, I'm all on board with it. The reason why I'm not on board with these electric cars is because if we're saving the planet by me not putting gasoline in my car, but I have to go charge it at a place that uses gasoline to charge with, it's not getting anywhere. It's not, it's, God, Jesus Christ. It's kind of like my ex when she used to come home with two sweaters, and she says, they had one, they had buy one, get one half off, so I saved $25. No, you didn't save $25. You spent an extra $25. You buy one sweater for $50. But if you bought two, you got it for half price, so you saved $25. No, you still had one goddamn sweater. You just spent an extra $25 on another goddamn sweater. So I'm furthering the whole
thing. Well, I got to tell you, up here where I'm at in the wintertime, I would love that deal. And I would think, given sweaters the way they are and they're designed, we ought to start a GoFundMe maybe to buy Kim some different sweaters if you see the sweaters he wears to work.
Uh-oh. Captain Cardigan.
I got a Monday sweater and a Tuesday sweater. Enough said.
And just for the record, his wife picked him like she was dressing the kids when they were little.
Oh, doing like the Granimals, where you match the damn animals on there, and as long as your animals match, your clothes match.
Yeah.
I'm showing my age now with the animals. Yeah.
At this point, if I'm going into work and I have anything other than my pajamas on, I'm already starting the day off strong.
It's already half-assed ruined because you had to get out of your pajamas, right?
Yes.
Oh, I can. Hey, Tim, after the show, give me a call. There's a man today, last 36 hours have been something. I'll just leave it there.
But did you guys see the movie Uncut Gems on Netflix with Adam Sandler? I don't know if you guys seen it or
no.
Not. But he has a gambling debt, right? So instead of just paying the gambling debt, he's hawking items that he has that don't belong to him. So he has an item that's on lend to him, and he hawks that item with the intention of paying that back to get the money to pay back the loan on the bet that he was behind. And
ain't that same movie from the 80s or 90s or whatever where the guys spent the money for the church insurance or whatever? And
yeah, it's something similar.
All right.
I mean, and going back to the gas thing, man, I mean, you can't. If we're putting gas in these turbines to save the planet, we're still having to get that gas from somewhere through refining and fracking and all the other cool stuff that we all say is bad. So we're not getting anywhere. We're borrowing money to pay money back, so to speak. And it, for me, it just, I don't know, man. Just no logic at all. But in the meantime, the countries that don't give a shit are still building and are still running their stuff. So one day when they get the wild hair in their ass to come over here to the United States and go to our ass, guess what? The tanks are only going to roll but so far because they can only hang but so far on damn electric power. Or, God forbid, we have to use petroleum to fuel these things, and the petroleum is so few and far between that we can't fuel them at all. I don't know, man. It's just, wow. Just totally mind-numbing when you think about it. And right now, as we speak, if you go down Highway 258 out here, there are yellow tubes laying on the side of the road, and they're digging up. They're going down 258, up one side and down the other, and they're digging it up. And everybody's asking, what are those yellow tubes? Well, I'm glad you asked. They're gas lines. So though here in Onslow County, we don't have any charging stations anywhere, they're already putting into place stuff to make it happen. So here comes another side question on this, is for the next 2 years, our leadership will keep pushing this agenda, no questions asked. And if this guy croaks or whatever happens, whoever comes up behind him will be pushing the same agenda. So it's not going away for the next 2 years. But let's just say, hypothetically, that 2024 we have a change in leadership and it goes to another party that isn't all about this stuff. So these gas lines will be put in at taxpayer money that is gone. And those gas lines will lay dormant for 4 years, and they will deteriorate through lack of use. And then we have another change in leadership that perhaps goes back to the electric car agenda. Then we have to dig those things back up, replace them. And I don't know. For me, it's just so asinine, man. And people wonder why guys like Donald Trump become president. It's because the guys in Washington do so much grabastic stuff that the American public's just over it. On both sides of the aisle.
We close down a pipeline, but yet we have to drill holes in the ground to have electric.
Yes.
Unreal.
Why? And when you buy petroleum, let's say you buy petroleum from a foreign country. Okay, the last I checked, the foreign country is still on the planet. So how is it less damaging to the environment when Russia fracks than it is when the United States does it, or Mexico does it, or Brazil does it, or whoever? You know, nobody can give you a straight answer when you ask these questions, man. It's frustrating.
Well, a touch of the ye olde devil's advocate on that. All right, somebody's got to lead by example, right?
Right.
The problem is, and this was the best part that I liked about the treaty and the money we were throwing into it with all that stuff was an absolute waste. There are people, seriously not meeting their obligation, but the biggest offenders weren't doing that. So at a certain point, you know, where do you put your money where your mouth is without wasting your damn money? That is a hell of a balance, to be honest.
Right.
Are there a lot of little things we can do? I'll tell you stuff that just blows my frickin' mind. Look at the amount of litter that we see. But I know that there's some of us on the show that can remember commercials about littering. And
yep,
there used to be all these different signs and stuff about defining and all that. But they don't bother doing that. So now, I mean, stop and think about this. It was y'all do remember, again, this is an example of how the whole littering thing itself is an issue. We had to stop using paper bags. We had to use plastic bags because the paper bags were sourced ultimately from wood, and we had to stop destroying the forest. And it's just like no matter what you do, there's something that's AFU, everything. It was good intention at the time, and we're going to plastic, but it's like now they're like, well, man, that damn plastic that we legislated and fought so hard for, well, that shit's not going to degrade, you know, in 30 generations. It's still going to be there in these different landfills. Well, what the hell? That reality didn't change. It existed when you legislated for it. And, you know, now we got the plastic bags, and it's not just the landfills and not biodegrading, but, well, now it's a litter problem. Well, we kind of quit our litter campaigns. What? We just keep making new rules, and we don't enforce the base rule to begin with. What the fuck?
Right. Don't use basic common sense. We're just too busy legislating things instead of trying to guide common sense to a certain extent. We're too busy trying to create laws to prevent irresponsible behavior. And for me, it's just and going off of what you said, Todd, I'll throw one out there that's close to that is recycling. I can recall in the 80s, well, hell, I'll even push it back to the 70s. There are some states still where you have to pay a deposit on glass bottles, right? So in the 80s, collecting cans, I remember as a kid. You threw a can in the garbage, you were getting your ass beat. Because not only the hell of the environment, that was money, okay? And back in the day, I mean, hell, I can remember my dad had the can crusher, the designated garbage can, the whole damn nine yards for crushed cans. And the program was you drink a soda pop or a beer or whatever it is, you put that can in there, and the old man better hear a crunch before you go in that fridge and get another one. Okay, he would bind that thing up, and then he'd throw 10, 12 bags in the back of his truck, and he'd come back with a check in his hand. Okay, it wasn't a huge check. It wasn't enough money to, say, save the world, but it was enough money for him to put forth to, say, a utility bill of some type or another. Right? So you would go around as a youth picking up cans. That was one. I mean, hell, there were people out there who was actually making a living, so to speak, picking up cans and recycling. All right.
Yes.
And for the longest time, as Todd, you know, you just alluded to, there was a huge thing about recycling. Captain Planet, you know, let's recycle everything. Recycle paper, recycle plastic, recycle metal, recycle all this shit. Well, now, okay, you get charged. They're no longer paying you for recycles. You're paying them to go and get the recycles from you. Take, for instance, like the
I'm just curious. It's really great point because I remember a specific incident in Houston at the time with the family. We took all the recyclable stuff to a place, made enough money. Yuki, Gary, and Connor and I went to the movies and got a meal. We did both same day on recycled profit, and the recycling place clearly wasn't giving us money unless they were making a profit.
Absolutely.
What the hell happened?
So they had to have been doing good to be able to pay you 15 cents a pound, hypothetically, for aluminum cans, okay? They obviously had to be making more than that on those aluminum cans themselves to pass that type of premium on to the consumer. So where did it go? And, like, right now with our trash, I have waste management, which is like the Disney and Walmart of trash collection. These guys are Christ awful. I have never, I mean, back in the day when we had Ray's trash collection, and Stroh and Todd, you guys remember Ray's. Everybody had Ray's, man. It was Blue Bin and everything. Well, the gentleman who owned it retired and sold his part of the business to the bigger corporate conglomerate, otherwise known as Waste Management. Well, in those days, when we had Ray's, they would drive down the street, and two gentlemen would ride the back of the garbage truck. And those gentlemen would jump off, grab your garbage, throw it in the back of the truck, and drive away. In the event that, let's say, you had something that didn't fit in your bin, they would throw it in there anyway. So, in other words, if you had a chair you were getting rid of, let's say you had an office chair that wouldn't fit in that little rolly bin, and you had it sitting neatly next to your rolly bin, they would grab it and throw it in the back there. Now, with Race Management, they've got one guy on the truck, and there's a giant claw, and I'm sure you all seen these things, that grabs the trash receptacle and dumps it into the back of the truck and then sets it back on the ground. The problem is that after he goes by, he leaves a trail of trash all through neighborhood. And unfortunately, here, like me, who lives in a long end, dead end here, if the wind's blowing to the left, it all goes down to the end of the street. And if it's blowing to the right, it goes to the other end of the street. Okay? So you got to get up every Wednesday afternoon and walk outside and pick up the random pieces of trash that are laying in your damn yard. Okay? So Ray's had a deal where they had, one day was trash. They would come by twice a week. One day was trash. The other day was recycled. And the rule with the recycles was anything recyclable, plastic, metal, paper, all that jazz, you put it out on next day. All right? And they would drive the same garbage trucks around, but they would pick your recycles up. And that was part of the program. That was part of the program, which you paid them monthly, which was, well, I think, $25 a month. Four times a month, they would pick up trash. Four times a month, they would pick up recycle. So, of course, in the Atwell residence, we would have a separate trash can for recycles. And everything, though I was not reaping any benefit from it financially, as we alluded to in the past, where, you know, we were actually getting paid for recycling, we still got the warm fuzzy feeling like we were doing our part by separating our recycles. Okay, so in an afternoon, Ray's trash service became part of the conglomerate of Waste Management. All right, Waste Management, for $35 a week, picks up one time a week garbage. That's it. So I called up. I says, hey, I says, what do I do about my recycles? And I quote, the lady told me that for the recycles, they will charge me an extra $6 a month. There's a one-time fee for bringing us an extra bin for our recycles. Okay? And they're still picked up on the same day. So if they're still picked up on the same day, that means it's going in the same truck with the trash. Right? So here I am. I'm already looking at a $10 increase a week in my trash pickup And now you're wanting to charge me another $6, which, you know, is eventually going to turn into $20 for the whole round thing, to recycle. So I'm getting charged more to do the right thing. So you know what happens to my recycles now? They do one of two things. They either go in my burn pile out back and I compost the stuff, and instead of buying dirt to fill in parts of my property, I take what I burn and fill in parts of my property with that. Otherwise, it goes into the garbage. So all that stuff we did, y'all ever stuck your head in one of those recycling receptacles at like an amusement park or whatever? They got the whole, like, glass goes in here, plastic goes in here, trash goes in here. You ever seen one of them?
Yeah.
Stick your head in there. Stick a flashlight in there. It's one damn bin. So, again, when we're talking about saving the planet, what happened to recycling? You know, what happened to the importance of that?
I know with us here in Arkansas, every other week is recycle week. Along, you know, like 1 week they'll pick up the trash, and then the next week they'll pick up the trash and the recycle, you know, thing. But they have two separate trucks. They have one truck for the recycle and then one truck for the trash. And our, like, recyclable can has the yellow lid with the green trash thing, and then the regular trash is just the green trash can with the black lid. But
right.
My husband, he collects pop cans or any kind of cans, beer cans, pop cans. I mean, all of his buddies at work, I mean, he still works for the road department, so every once in a while he'll bring home a big sack full of pop cans and he'll take them to the recycle place. And they used to pay 50 cents a pound. Now they're paying like 35 cents a pound for aluminum cans, you know, and stuff like that. But he recycles, I mean, you know, so. But that's added to our water bill. Our water bill and our waste management is all on the same bill.
Ah.
So we pay like $41.95 a month, and that covers our water bill and our trash bill.
You pay what?
So that's how ours works.
And see, that makes sense, though, because if you're paying 35 cents, even though it's not 50 cents, if you're paying 35 cents a pound for aluminum, then it gives people an incentive to go the extra mile and do it. All right? But when they turn around and they start charging you as John Q. Public, you know, all of us are just trying to get by, for Christ's sake. Ain't none of us are independently wealthy.
Now, like at our local Walmart store, our local Walmart Supercenter store, they have this big thing out in front of the store on the sidewalk next to the entrance where you can put, like, your plastic bottles in the one hole and your glass bottles, you know, it's like a recycle, big, giant recycle bin. I mean, I've never done it or nothing like that.
Ain't that what you just touched on?
Yeah. Yeah.
But like I said, I've never really watched anybody ever put, but they have a Walmart associate sitting out there, like, by the bin, I guess, to help people, like, if they bring recyclable stuff. I mean, I've never seen anybody use it, you know, as long as it's been there. And it's been there probably almost a year now that they've had it out there next to the entrance, but I've never seen anybody, you know, actually bring recyclable stuff to use it.
But that brings me to a good point. I'm glad you brought that up, Granny, because here's what I'm getting at. Let's say we build a turbine Okay, let's say these charging stations for the electric cars, okay, has a turbine that we can fuel through trash. When they're burning the trash, somehow or another, somebody invented, God damn it, if we can put stuff on Mars, we can figure this out. Build a turbine that runs off of the trash that is picked up every day. I don't care what kind of trash it is, chicken bones, dog shit, gum wrappers, whatever it is, okay?
Oh, you'd be pissed with the dog shit, dude. You'd be, shit, Dave wouldn't talk to us anymore.
Son, I'd be like Rock Perot when it comes down to dog shit, man. Let me tell you, I would be like J.R. Ewing. I'd be the dog shit quick king, son. Mr. Shit would be my name. But if they were to take all of that trash, because what are we going to do with trash? We're going to do nothing. And I know I'm running long here, but I want to get to my point, is I know we're not going to do anything with trash. Let's say you were to take all that trash that is in the Pacific, as they say, and you were to turn that into a fuel source, and you use that fuel source to fuel the turbines that would charge an electric car, then by Christ, I am all in on electric cars. But the reason why they won't do that is because the guys who want electric cars are in bed with the oil companies just as much as the guys who don't want electric cars are in the bed with the oil companies. All of them are in bed with the oil companies, so by Christ, it's just one guy jerking us off with the left hand, and it's the other guy jerking us off with the right. And, you know,
okay, so you're complaining about a reach around.
No, they're good to have, especially if your hands are soft. But, you know, you understand my point. It's just, for me, use something that will benefit us. If trash is a problem, then let's find a way to turn that trash into fuel, and we can kill two birds with one stone. But we'll never do that because big oil money is what keeps the politicians on the left side of the aisle and the right side of the aisle in business. And they don't want to get a job at Panera. They don't want to be them working their ass off. They don't want to have to move to other states to provide for their family like we do here, right? Okay? They don't want to get shook out of their treehouse. No offense, Tim. They don't want anything rocking the boat because they've been in politics for 40, 50 goddamn years, and they've gotten nothing done. And they do not want anything to jeopardize that little honey hole they've got. So some guy invents a damn engine that's going to run off of turkey grease or chicken grease. That guy ain't going to live long because the politicians are going to make sure that his invention and his knowledge get squished because it jeopardizes their ability to keep sitting there getting rides to work, getting free meals, getting free benefits through the government, and doing jack shit for the American citizens. If I didn't have so many damn skeletons in my closet, by Christ, I'd run. I've just done too much wrong shit in the past. I just, there's no way I could do it. People got too much stuff on me to run. But, I mean, it makes sense, though, right? Think about the one thing. And going on, and Todd made a good point, dog shit. Let's say somebody was to come up all of a sudden and say, we found a way to cure COVID, but we need dog shit. Okay? First off, there probably wouldn't be any more dog pounds, which is a good thing. All the doggies would have homes, right?
God, I'd never find a Korean restaurant again.
Yeah, the Korean restaurants would be out of business because no doggies would be around for them to cook. But here I am, the stuff that I pick up and fling into a hole in my yard and bury suddenly becomes something financially beneficial for my family. Wow. And what else is going on with my dog shit? Nothing. The flies are eating it. I scoop it up. I put it in a hole. I bury it. That's if I'm able to get to it before the rain gets to it and beats it all to pieces and I can't scoop it up. You know what I mean? Take that stuff. There's no use for dog shit at all. I mean, I'm not putting it in my garden. Take the dog shit, turn it into a damn fuel source that we could fuel the turbines with to charge the electric cars, and wow, everybody freaking wins.
Then we'll really have some Labrador joints like Cheech and Chong.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. Great reference.
Oh, wow.
Labrador, man.
Stroh would also be in business, too, because he's got a couple damn doggies wandering around his residence, too. He's not far out of this conversation when it comes down to the multi-dog household. Stroh's pretty good about tacking a couple pictures on Facebook of his babies just the same, man. It's hard not to do that, I tell you. I'm ate up with it. So I guess we need to go ahead, get the British lady queued in, which means we need to kick it around the horn here, get the parting shots before the British lady. And I ain't going to give her no static this week because I know she's in mourning, so she could be as salty as she wants. But nevertheless, as usual, I'm going to kick it over there at the good brother Stroh, busiest man in Onslow County. And if you would, give me a quick recap of your adventures out there at the Craven County Comic-Con this weekend, my brother, if you would.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a busy one. Tomorrow night, on WCW Retro at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on BBCNation.com, we'll be discussing the career of the Road Warriors. So anybody's got a cool Road Warrior moment you like to call in. And then Friday night, Stroh Zone at midnight Eastern Standard Time on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro. The feature will be The House on the Haunted Hill, or Vincent Price. That and Friday during the evening and Saturday I will be at the Fall Festival at the Craven County Fairgrounds in Newton, North Carolina. Friday I'll be there from 5-10, and then Saturday from 2-10, and each night they'll have musical performances. I think Bridge Atlantic's performing Friday night, and Saturday night will be Brian Myers. So a lot going on this weekend. So if you're in the Newbern, North Carolina area, come check us out this weekend. The festival's going on right now as we speak, you know, throughout the rest of the week, but I'll just be there with the Friday, Saturday.
Yeah, that's
nice.
I was going to say, Jesus Christ, you ain't going to be sitting still. You going to get time to sleep or
I'll try to squeeze some hours in between.
Just crash somewhere at stoplights or something like that whenever you wait for somebody to honk the horn to wake you up. Okay, I'm back at it. Power nap.
Oh, that's Onslow County for sure.
Yeah, that's definitely Onslow County. But Stroh's great to have you aboard this evening. Always good to have you around. And we'll be crossing paths sooner or later here coming up because we've got plenty of stuff going on with Dr. John, who I got to hand it to him, has got things dialed in. And we all know and love our Dr. John, how his mind can go faster than his ass sometimes. But Dr. John is really dialed in and is really doing an excellent job, and I'm proud of him, and I'm happy for him. It's good to see him succeed. And as we speak on the show a lot of times, shared success. So when he wins, I win. When I win, Stroh wins. When Stroh wins, everybody, you know what I mean? It all kind of
comes together. So definitely good to see things happening. And like I said, Stroh, I'll be seeing more of him than what he probably cares to have happen. But nevertheless, we'll be crossing paths quite a bit coming up here.
You have my sympathy, Stroh.
Yes. let me apologize in advance for my presence. Mm. But, man, it was good to have you aboard this evening. Always thank you for joining us, man. Good to have
you. Thank
you
for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Granny Hulkster, kind of parting shots do you have, young lady?
Well, I just hope everybody has a great rest of the weekend. You know, Dave, I need to get you and Stroh to Northwest Arkansas for our Comic-Con in Rogers, Arkansas next January. Y'all need to come to Arkansas.
Cool.
How long of a drive is it?
Give them a weather report for January before either of them even decide.
We don't get a lot of snow. I mean, we haven't had a really heavy snowstorm in several years. We haven't even had a lot of ice. Our winter this year we had a little bit of snow, but it was very mild. I mean, we're not like Wisconsin or North Dakota or Montana that, you know, gets, you know, or the East Coast that gets like tons and tons and, you know, feet of snow. I mean, we don't usually get that down here in Arkansas.
I was going to say, we could probably get on Interstate 26 and get it all the way, because 26 cuts through Atlanta. Yeah, I mean,
well,
hell,
I know from Springdale to Tulsa, Oklahoma, it's almost like 2 hours. To Oklahoma City, it's about 3.5. So I don't know, you know, I mean, I've never been down in your neck of the woods where you all are from. I've never been down to the Carolinas. So I know Florida, like, when we went to see my husband's sister last August, we flew down, but it would have been like
you were doing that skinny dipping in the spa thing going on.
No, I wasn't going. No, I wasn't doing no skinny dipping in no spa. But you know, but no, if we would have driven to Florida, it would have been about an 18-hour drive to Florida. So I don't know.
Right.
You know,
she was practicing your heel turn.
No, I'm not practicing no heel turn, Stroh. That is mean of you. That is mean of you all. I am not turning heel, okay? No, I'm not turning heel. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. No, I'm not already heel. No, I'm not, Todd. I'm still an angel. I'm still a good granny, so I'm not the bad granny, okay? Just because I like to talk smack to the bad guys. You know, but, hey, I saw my good friend, Mr. Barry Lindiff, tonight working security on AEW tonight up there in old good old Albany, New York, or wherever they were at tonight. So my friend works a lot of security for AEW, one of my wrestling buddies. So I'm waiting for AEW to come to Arkansas so I can go to AEW, and now that MJF's back, I can talk to smack to him, so I don't like him. But anyways, I hope everybody has a great rest of the week and stay safe and love each other and be good to each other and just keep Granny in your prayers, you know, because I need them, so I always appreciate them, so for sure.
Yes. We appreciate you joining us, and, of course, all the best intentions and thoughts heading your way, as usual. And
thank
I hope
you
have a wonderful week, Granny. Thank you again for joining us.
I plan on it.
We'll have to look into that. I'm curious to see how far it is from Atlanta to where you're at. And, yeah, perhaps. And just as long as Stroh's willing to put Dorothy in the trunk, I have no problem with traveling a day with him. It'd be my pleasure. What I won't be doing is looking in the rearview mirror and seeing it, Dorothy staring back at me.
Dorothy waving at you.
Hell yeah. We ain't going through that.
She's the life of the party, Dave.
I bet she is.
She's got your back, trust me.
Got her in her car seat.
No worries with Dorothy. She's got a sister now, did I tell you that?
got her arm hanging out the window, sunglasses on, you name it, you know.
Oh, yeah, they have slumber parties and everything.
I think I think the dates of that Comic-Con are January 14th and 15th, I think they are, so.
Yeah, I had to look into it, because January is a doable month, because the damn sure ain't going to be pressure washing in January. You can take that to the bank. That is for show.
And then I can take you guys to some good barbecue places, you know. If y'all like barbecue or whatever, or Mexican food, I've got some good Mexican restaurants too. I could take y'all to. So.
Hell yeah, I can get ruined on either one. You just, once you see me, you'd understand it. Granny, I appreciate you joining us this evening, dear.
Oh,
always
you're
good
quite
to have
welcome.
You So, Tim,
thanks for having me on.
Back away from your work for a minute. Give us some parting shots.
Yeah, parting shots. I don't have much to add. Hopefully, I'm going to get the pool straightened out and cleaned up. I've battled the pool for a few weeks now. I don't really care to get into too much detail, but it seems to be this time of year every year, and I always think I'm going to avoid it. But something to do with the climate, I don't know if it's a drop in chlorine, the lack of people swimming, but it gets kind of gross. So I'll be cleaning up to close out the pool to start in the season of fall weather and another season of wonderful, but the mowing tends to slow down, but you know, the yard work still kicks up with all the leaves. So anticipating all that. Other than that, it's working when I shouldn't be, and just trying to spend a little bit of me time and family time, balance it all out, and that's about all there is to it. So hope everyone enjoys the rest of the week. I'm glad football is back. My Colts, oh, yeah, I do have to make fun of the Colts here. What kind of a division is it when you play in the division, you can't even win a game, but you're still somehow in first place? Tied with first place with a tie, and the other damn teams didn't even win a game. So, yeah, so here we are sitting in first place in the AFC South. First place with a tie. No wins. Back at you.
Yeah, that's another show topic. Why is it football could come up with all these damn new innovative rules, but they still can't figure out how to just shit-can the tie thing? You know what I mean?
Right.
Do some type of sudden death. Nevertheless, that'll be another show topic. We could expand on that because,
not
I mean, every other sport.
Happen.
Yeah, not every other happen. Sport has a sudden death except for football. But, nevertheless, Tim, fantastic having you aboard this evening. As always, appreciate you. Your patience last week. Great to have you here, man. Have a safe week, all right?
Will
now,
do.
Speaking of safe week, let's kick it over there to Todd. I don't know what safety has
yo
to do
boy.
With Todd.
The, yo, boy. There's a ton of stuff going on. Let's go, as always, break it down to fundamentals. Look, I know a million people got a million things going on. Some good, some bad, some ugly, some other. Try to make an effort to find something resembling a silver lining. Easy to get wrapped up in the negative. And not saying that negative doesn't have value, because frankly, without electrons, we wouldn't be here. But take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Take care of one another. Oh, yeah, I broke it down to fundamentals.
A little bit of action there.
Happy hump day. Don't get to do this as often as I'd like to any of the shows. Happy hump day. Take care. Again, be safe, all. Big hugs.
Outstanding. Yeah, I appreciate you joining us this evening, and I totally get it. We all have gone through our periods where real life
speak
has
for yourself about your periods.
My periods are different than yours.
Oh, I have no doubt about that. Yes, yours are.
They're not in sync.
You might as well own it.
But I appreciate you joining us, brother. Always good to have you. Good to see your family this weekend, man. Damn sure good. My parting shots real quick. Like, first off, I want to congratulate our good brother, Dr. John, for throwing a damn good show this weekend. And looking forward to working with him again on a regular basis, as we had back in 15, 16, 17, 18, before COVID reared its ugly head. And it's good to see Dr. John having some success and everything, because Dr. John gets it. He does not mind passing around the success. He does not mind sharing. And when he wins, everybody wins. So it's good to see him him getting back into the con game and everything. Now, on a personal note, and I'll forego all the Comic-Con talk and book talk this evening, as you guys know, thanks to my pick bombing over the last two or three days, we went to the pet rescue and got our fourth dog. Yeah, I know, people. Four dogs. Are you out of your mind? Yes, I'm out of my mind. And Violet is a Great Pyrenees, which is something like a French version of a Mastiff. And, you know, y'all saw the pictures that I posted of Rob holding both dogs, you know, when they were 3 months old, and they look almost identical. I'm going to tell you something. That dog is so sweet. Violet is just the sweetest, happiest little dog. And
how sweet is she?
She is so sweet. I'm telling you, I appreciate it. She is a knockout, and she's brought a lot of happiness to the house in just 2 days. And we're happy to have her here. So, again, I've said this before on the show, I'll say it again, is that if you want to buy a particular dog because a particular breed or, you know, a particular size or whatever, please help yourself. Far be it from me, if you buy a dog, that means the dog still has a home. That's what counts. But in the event you don't have a preference, and you just want a dog, go to these rescues, man. Go to the pound.
Go to your local shelter.
Yes. And the good news about these rescues versus the shelters is that the rescues go to the shelters, and they get the dogs that have been there for quite some time, and they bring them to the rescues, and they go to these foster families. And the foster families actually almost advertise for the pets. They come out and they say, if you have small children, this is not the dog for you. Or if you have no yard, this is not the dog for you. They give you the pros and the cons so you can actually fit yourself. You know, whereas you go to a pound, a lot of times you get some 400-pound guy that goes, oh, well, that dog's going to be going to the needle in 2 days if you don't pick him up. That's not helping things. But these rescues, they're nonprofit, and they work off of the hearts of the volunteers and the people who help the organization and everything. And when you go there, hell, there was when we went to the little meetup they had this weekend. There was one foster mom that was actually crying when the dog got adopted, because she was happy that the dog was going to a new home, but on the flip side, she was going to miss the dog because she got attached to it. It's not hard to do. So go to the rescues, go to the pound, and find you a companion. And I'm here to tell you, Misty weighs about $130, and I'm sure Violet's going to get around $130. Sadie, our chocolate lab's around 75, and Mika, our tree hound, is right around 60. So I'm figuring by the time everything fills out, we're probably going to be sitting around 400 pounds of dog wandering around the house, and I could not be happier. The amount of joy, the amount of warmth that comes to the household, I don't know what I'd do without it, to be quite honest with you. And
well, I tell you, my son's little dog, Mysterio, he got him from the shelter when he was 10 weeks old, and it was December, and we were looking at the dogs and everything, and my husband went back to where they had all the cats at, and this little dog, Mysterio, was in his little cage all by himself because his kennel mate had been adopted 2 days before him. He was a Chihuahua mix. And David opened that cage door, and that little puppy bounded out right inside of David's work coat, like, you're taking me home tonight.
Yeah.
And
we played
with him, and we put him back, and that little thing started yelping. So I called the shelter the next day, and I told them that my son wanted to adopt him, and they said, well, we're closed, but go ahead and bring your son up, and we'll let him take him home. And Mysterio weighed a whole whopping 6 pounds when he brought him home.
Oh, wow.
And now he's about 15 pounds. I think he's a Chiweenie is what he is, because he's got that long nose like a dachshund. But he's got the color like of a German Shepherd. I mean, he's got the black and tan like a German Shepherd. But I can see the Chihuahua in him, and I can see the dachshund in him. But I tell you, that little dog has been the best companion for my son. He'll be 11 years old in October, and I dread the day that something happens to that little dog, because when something happens to Mysterio, my son is going to be so lost without his little buddy. And that's like our 16-year-old Basset Hound. I tell you, I don't know what I'm going to do when I lose my sweet Maggie out there. I mean, I don't know how she's still making it, but she's still going, and we've got a 2-year-old Shepherd mix, and I think he helps keep her going too. But he was running the other day, and he was running really fast, and I guess he thought he was far enough away from Maggie, and he ran right into her and knocked her down, and she yelped, and I said, Rex, I said, don't knock over your sister, you're going to hurt her. But I did. I mean, he just ran right into her. I don't think he meant to do it intentionally, but he just, I mean, knocked her down, you know. But I'll say, go check on Maggie, and he'll go, like, if she's sleeping, he'll go nudge her, make sure she's still breathing and everything. But I mean, they're pretty good companions, you know. So I like my dogs.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What I was kind of finding with Sadie and Misty, the two older dogs, they would kind of play like the mean girls every now and then. They all got along fine, but like if they were both sitting on the couch and then Mika would come up and sit on the couch, the two of them would get up and go somewhere else. And, you know, I was like, you know what? It's like, so it kind of felt bad for the tree hound, you know, because there's a 4 or 5 year disparity. And you know, I always snoop on the, they don't call it Ruby's Misfits now. They call it a Rise Pet Rescue or something to that effect now. But I always snoop around on there just to see if they got a particular breed of dog I'm interested in, because the Basset Hound's one of them. I'd love to have a Basset Hound. So anyhow, I saw the Pyrenees, and you guys know I'm all about some big dogs, man. I love the big dogs. And I was like, wow, Pyrenees, man, hell yeah. So, of course, I approached Dale with it. Dale's like, I don't think so. So I said, yeah, we'll see about this. So I went to Rob, and I said, hey, man, take a look at this. So Rob was like, wow, man, yeah, that'd be cool. So I'm thinking I got Rob on my side, right? So we go to the rescue thing, and Rob's like, well, I don't know about getting another dog, Dad. I'm like, damn, Rob, thanks, buddy. You drive me all the way out here, and then you pull a yellow on me. What's up? So anyhow, we go there. And there was Violet. And actually, we were there looking for her brother, but her brother had gotten picked up the day before. So Violet was the only one left of the five. And I stood next to the cage, and I pointed. I said, Violet's the only one left. Of course, Dale, she's like, well, I don't know. So got her out of the cage, and she immediately went right to Rob. And Rob held her for I don't know how long. He held her till he couldn't hold her no longer, because she's there a bit of 20 pounds already. And he says, can you hold on to her for a second? I'm losing feeling in my arms. I said, yeah, no problem. I says, if you put her down, somebody's going to get her. I says,
What do you think? And, of course, Dale had that look. She turned around and looked at Rob, and Rob says, yeah, that's my dog.
Aww.
So, yeah, there it is. And now Rob has Violet in the bed with him, and then Misty lays with Dale, and then Sadie lays with me, and then Mika, she's kind of the wild card. She's the one that lays in the middle. But now Mika and Violet play along, and if the two old grumps want to go lay in the bed and sleep, they go lay in the bed and sleep, and there's a lot of harmony. And now when we buy a four-pack of Frosty Paws, it evens out. Because there's a four-pack. That's the reason why we needed four dogs, just to bring balance to the Frosty Paws ice cream. So if you ever get a chance, like I said, hit these rescues up. Don't be afraid to check into a rescue around your area. It's good stuff, man. Love my dogs. So with all that being said, I'm going to ease in through the old janky back door, which I'm going to crowdfund for about $1,500 so I can replace this with a French door. Sweet Jesus, open up. There we go. You ain't got to worry about nobody breaking into this house because you can't get in it. Your damn self. Oh, Lord. I want to see if Spectrum has some internet for me. I actually got stopped by a Spectrum representative today in the store, and I almost come close to telling her to get bent, but I was cordial and said, oh, no, ma'am, I already had Spectrum, even though your service sucks. All right. Still having my apologies. So, British lady, my condolences. We're going to cue you in and put an end to another Wednesday night jam.
What's the song, God Save the Queen or whatever?
That's right. And they got tossed out of the country for that. So, God Save the King now. We're heading in the other direction. So, everybody has a wonderful week.
Oh, you know what? I got to throw this out there. You know what? You would think that somebody would have found something positive to say about a matriarchy. And yet, I haven't heard. Haven't heard it. Not at all.
Not yet. I don't think it's going to happen either.
Oh, no, but the patriarchy fussing will start. You heard it here first. Next. Carry on. All right, where's that English lady?
That British lady. Let's do it. All right, guys, have a safe week, and we will talk to you next weekend. Here are Pop Culture Stars. Y'all take care. British lady, where are you at with the goodbye?